We're going to be looking at the woman who shaped my life, and we're going to be examining the life of Timothy as we look at that issue of the woman who shaped my life. And I'd like for you, if you would, to just join in with me in prayer that God would speak to our hearts this morning and help us all to be a part of something that is very, very, very special. The women in our lives that shape us and help us to become the people that we are. God had to work extremely hard to find that woman, Mary, who was able and willing to give birth to his son, Jesus. It took just centuries and centuries and centuries of going down through the preparations of the hearts and lives of people to finally come to that one woman who was willing and who was able, who had the spiritual condition to be able to be the house, the residence for the birth of that of our Savior. And so we don't want to forget this important aspect of motherhood as we examine the scriptures this morning. Heavenly Father, we just come to you asking for that special anointing on the mothers and the mothers-to-be. We just pray that you would speak not only to those who have already given birth, not only to those who are at this current time raising children, but we just pray that you would speak to the hearts of those who are going to be raising children, and that you would speak to the hearts of those who have raised children. That this is Mother's Day. This is a day when we honor our mothers. This is a day that we honor motherhood. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you would speak to the hearts and the lives of every woman here today. Bless them abundantly. Pour out your Spirit upon them. Anoint them with your presence and power and wisdom and grace and mercy. Use them in a mighty way for your glory and honor. And we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone said, Amen. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:5, I have been reminded of your sincere faith. Paul is talking to Timothy, and he is saying that he's been reminded of his sincere faith, which this sincere faith was first lived in your grandmother Lois, and then this sincere faith lived in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives also in you. The first issue that we want to examine this morning is the issue of getting children off to a good start. And that is not easy. You just need to thank God this morning, all of you who are mothers. You need to thank God, all of you who are going to be mothers. All of you who have been mothers. Well, you need to thank God that you did not have a Mel Westbrook born in your family. Thank God. It is amazing what I put my mom through. I had all kinds of attitudes that a lot of things were wrong with my mom. And I didn't realize it, but the main thing that was wrong with my mom was me. I put a real stress and strain on my mom as she raised me up. We're a family of three boys. Ultimately, I was the oldest one, and to this day, I give her tremendous amount of credit for having a second child. Why I wasn't an only child, once she discovered what could happen to a mother if she had a baby, once she discovered that they could be like me, I can't believe that she was willing to chance it and have another one. But she did. She had Gary. And Gary was a person who could not tell a lie without showing that he lied. He was a person who could not disobey without feeling extreme guilt. I think that Gary was God's blessing on Mom for having been willing to raise me. Gary, if he told a lie, would stick his tongue over in the side of his cheek. And you could tell that he had just lied because of this sheepish grin on his face and a bulge over here on his cheek. Every time he lied, he just couldn't help himself. I finally talked him into smoking a cigarette. being an older brother, I mean, this was my duty. And he got slobbers all over because he was so afraid that he was going to kill him. I mean, he was just such a special kid. And I was just thankful to have him and Brian as my brothers. And our relationship grew as Mom developed us and helped us to grow into young men. And Mom, when she died, I stood at her funeral and I told everyone there that I thank God that she was my mom and that the greatest heritage that she could have possibly given me, greater than $1 billion, greater than helping me to become the wisest person, the best in business, greater than anything else that she could give me, she gave me Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That is the awesome gift. And what is being said here in 2 Timothy 1:5 is that Lois, the grandmother, got Eunice to come to Christ. That Lois, the grandmother, influenced Eunice, the mother, in the ways of God. And that she started off in faith, and that faith got Timothy off to a great start. Mothers make the difference. Starting with Lois, an influence started to take place in Eunice as Eunice grew up. Now you can see that Timothy, even though he's not born yet, is reaping the benefits of this relationship of Lois with Eunice. That already everything, every concept, every spiritual aspect that Lois pours into Eunice is going to pass on to Timothy. And from Timothy, it is going to be passed out to the known world of that day. Timothy became a very dynamic part of Paul's ministry and carried it on in a powerful way. But Lois saw herself as just a woman in life. She knew about the relationship with Christ. She understood that Jesus was important. She was excited about that relationship with him, but she didn't know there was going to be a Timothy. She was just doing her motherly duty. And we all know that that doesn't necessarily go easy. Because there's always some neighbor somewhere who lets their kid do something that God is speaking to your heart to not let yours do. Amen, mothers? Cinderella's mother lets her mother do that. Cinderella's mother lets her daughter do that. Why won't you let me do it? And we have the pressure of the world. We have the pressure of television. We have the pressure of world philosophies. We have all of the pressures of other people and what they think. Have you ever had someone else give you their opinion of how you should raise your kids? It happens all the time, doesn't it? The government has gotten involved and decided how you should raise your kids. All kinds of professionals have been involved in telling you how to raise your kids. But we need to allow God to tell us how to raise our kids. We need to allow that influence of the power of God to say, now there's going to be a lineage here. Now, it could be that you are the first Christian in your family. It could be that there wasn't something like it happened in the Westbrook family to where that grandma, great-grandma Huggard and great-grandpa Huggard were great Christians. And who in turn ministered to my grandma Johnston and ultimately to my grandpa Johnston, who at 73 years old accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Now, he didn't have much of a Christian influence on me, but he had a heart. He had love, and he cared for me and watched over me, and ultimately became a Christian. One of my prayers that I prayed every day was for my grandpa, because I loved my grandpa so much that I wanted him to come to Christ. But my grandma, Grandma Johnston, was praying for me. Grandma was a Pentecostal, and so consequently, she was back in the back bedroom, and you could hear her all over the house, begging God to transform and save my life. Grandma Westbrook, I'm not real sure where she fit into all of the charismatic issues of life, but because she would sit there and her mouth would just move. And she wouldn't be saying any words, have her Bible in her lap, and she would sit there with her hands kind of folded together, and she would just, her mouth was just, her eyes were closed, and she was just praying. And as a little grandson, I would sit there on the floor, and I would watch Grandma Westbrook pray. And it touched my heart. And then my mom, leading me, guiding me, correcting me, instructing me, threatening to tell my dad. Helping me to become the Christian that I needed to be. In 1 Corinthians 16:10, we see the setting of the priorities that existed in Timothy's life. You can start to see the character as it starts to, as he starts to move into the ministry. If Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you, for he is carrying on the work of the Lord just as I am. Paul had such an incredible commitment to Christ. There were few people in the entire world who were as committed, dedicated, consecrated to the work of God. And for him to say that Timothy had that same exact commitment is a representative of his mother Eunice, of saying that built inside of this young man was a desire for God. And that is what you are all about. As mothers, you are sitting here this morning representing the fact that God is a priority. God is a first priority in your life. It is vital for you to be aware of the fact that even though it is difficult for you to be involved in helping your children, raising your children, influencing your children, working in their lives, praying for them, it is difficult, hard for you to realize that in the midst of all of the things that are going on in your life, one of the greatest things that you do is motherhood. That relationship with those young people, that relationship is setting them on a course toward that I found myself in church. Now, there was a point in time when my dad didn't really want to go to church. He worked really hard. He had to work extremely hard on a manual labor job, and they would work very late at night. And he came in tired. And on Sunday, it was difficult for him to get out of bed and go to church. But mom would influence him, and the kids would go in, and we would all beg him to take us to church. And finally, he would get up, and he would go, and he would take us to church. He was a good dad. He's a loving dad, but he was pooped, he was tired, he was fatigued, and he just needed some rest. He needed to get a chance to recoup in order to start back again, doing the same thing again on Monday. And it was difficult for him, but come Sunday night, it was almost impossible to get him to take us to church, and that's when they had the major young people's programs. And there'd be mom, and there would be me and my brothers all standing around dad. Dad, can we go to church tonight? Please take us to church tonight. And we're all talking and dealing with him and saying to him, come on, dad, let's go. And finally, most of the time, he would get up and go and take us to church. Where did that heart desire come from? Mom implanted in us the desire to make Jesus first in our lives. She planted in us that desire in our hearts to serve him and to want to have those things that church had to offer. And she set us on a path. She set us on a priority. She directed our compass and she put us in a direction where we wanted to get God in our lives. We were in a very poor family. My jeans look a lot like those expensive jeans that you see today. In that poor family, there was a lot of pressure. There was a lot of pressure on my mom and on my dad to provide us with clothes and to provide us with a house and to provide us with food and to provide us with a good education. Mom was saving up. I didn't know she was saving up. But Mom was saving up year after year after year. She would go out and work on a job, and she would put money back. And she put money back until I finally graduated from high school. It was close. My senior year, during the 2 weeks that seniors go off and celebrate on senior week, during those 2 weeks, I was doing drawings on paper, architectural drawings on paper, catching up on a whole bunch of stuff that I hadn't done. And I had made an agreement with the instructor that if he would let me finish those drawings, that he would go ahead and let me graduate. And he thought a long, long time about it. And so finally said, yes, if you will get them in and they are good, I will let you graduate. And by the skin of my teeth, I graduated. Only to discover that Mom had saved up the money to send me to college. And I'm talking poor. Poor, poor, poor. One day, Mom was down on her knees seeking God, asking God to somehow, some way, help us to get milk. And a promotion was going on in our community. And a milkman knocked on our door and said, "Ma'am, would you like to try out a quart of milk?" After the door closed, Mom danced all over the house. And then a knock came on the door, and the milkman was there again. And he said, "I had one left over. Would you like to have it?" And after the door closed, Mom danced all around the house again. God answered her prayers. We're talking poor. And Mom, somehow, some way, got me into college, building my character. Philippians 2, 19, 21 says, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you." And this is what he says about Timothy. And this is what he says about Eunice. And this is what he's saying about Lois. Because when he says it about Timothy, he's saying about these moms, "I have no one else like him." Now that's a sad state of affairs. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare, for everyone looks out for his own interests. Do you see the character building? Do you see the character building? These two ladies turned him into a special person, didn't they? Isn't that incredible? That's incredible, isn't it? What's first and foremost in life? Me. I. You just have to have enough self-confidence. You just have to have enough self-concern. You just have to have enough determination. You just have to know that whatever you want to be, you can be. And we centralize, through secular humanism training, we centralize the minds of our children on themselves. And when you see them walking down the street, their eyes are just pure white. There's no pupil, because they're turned inward. Their eyes are looking at them and what they want and what they need. And that's the way the world raises them. But instead, you as godly mothers are raising your children to understand that they have to have humility, that they have to have a poor spirit, that they have to be teachable, they have to have a teachable spirit. They have to understand they don't know everything. They have to be aware of the fact that they need that guidance and that help, that there is foolishness that is born in them, and it has to be driven out of their lives. And if it isn't, then they grow up and they are selfish parents. They are selfish people. They are selfish employees. They are selfish employers. They are selfish in their relationship with all the people around them. Instead, because of your influence, because of the power of your influence, because of the direction of your influence, because of your willingness to be different, because you are willing to be a mother who is willing to implant into your child, then all of a sudden your child grows up and there's no one like them. You can look every direction and you can't find anyone like them because they just have this humble spirit about them to where that they care about other people. They understand what it feels like to criticize and to run down and to make jokes and fun of those other people around them. And so all of a sudden they hurt when these other people hurt because that's the way you raise them to be. Who take a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. I have only one person like him. He's the only one I have that can send to you. Because he is the one who is able to touch your life and make a difference in your life. It is in our society that we think that the greatest contribution that we make are those things that we have. We want to give our children the best. We want to give our children what we never had. We want to make up that difference in their lives so that they don't have to do without those things we had to do without. But the fact is that our children inherit who we are much more than they inherit what we have. And that puts the priority on our own prayer life. The reason why your children are going in the direction that they're going, and the reason why they're being blessed by God, and the reason why God's speaking to their hearts, even in those tumultuous times when they're rebelling, the reason why there's a heart desire for God is because of your prayer life, because of your Bible study, because of your church attendance. And as mothers, you are the salt that is influencing our society, because it goes on from Lois to Eunice to Timothy to the world. And it's a ministry. It's an influence. It's a philosophy that spreads. It's one that is like yeast that you put in bread. To where that you put a few little spores of yeast inside the bread. But it grows. And spreads throughout the entire loaf of bread. You are not alone. God's word is powerful. And as you plant it in the heart of your children, you are the heroes of America. You are the people who are turning the tide on our society. You are the individuals who are making the difference, who are not succumbing to world philosophy, because you as mothers are taking your children and making sure that they are being exposed to the appropriate things and letting them inherit those things of God that are in your own heart and life. And we applaud you. We praise God for you, and we are praying for you on a regular basis because we know that God is using you to make the difference in our lives. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:12, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Do you see what's being said there? Here is a position that is being held by Timothy as a young person that would typically be held by someone who is old. Someone be a lot older than him. In other words, at a very young age, he's already so actively involved in the work of God that people around him that he's ministering to are not used to having someone that age influenced in their lives in a spiritual direction. And so they have a tendency to want to look down on him and thinking, you're just too young to be doing this job. I don't think that we should be allowing you to be in this position. You're not old enough to be holding this spiritual responsibility. And they were having to tell Timothy, don't let people look down on you and despise you because of your youth. Why? Because he was having advanced performance. His grandma and his mother got him started off in such a direction in God that he is already doing that which he normally could not be doing at that age. We want our kids to be successful, but we have to make a decision on the top priority of that success. We have to be willing to say to ourselves, the top priority, even though it is not something that the world would put a stamp of approval on, I want my child to be successful in God. And because of that commitment, because of that dedication, the dynamics of that decision that you are making for your children, you find them just being able to do things in the ministry, doing things in the relationship with other people that they're not really old enough and shouldn't be qualified to do. There are a lot of people that get started in Christ late in life. And as excited and as dynamic as that is, everyone that gets started late in life in Christ, they have one thing that they cry about. Getting started late in life, I wish I'd have started this thing sooner. And we could spend our time in feeling depressed about the fact that we got started in Christ late in life. We could feel like, well, I wish things had been different. But if we want to make sure that our children get that which maybe we did not have, if you're starting that legacy, if you're starting up that inheritance, and you're the first one to start it off, and you started it off later on in life, if you want to give your kids something that you didn't have, then give them a dynamic Christian home environment. Amen? You're going to have what I didn't have. And you're not talking about money. You're not talking about financial success. You're not talking about positions. You're talking about a relationship with God. That the advanced performance of your kids, that they're going to start off, and at a young, early age, they are going to already be praying, seeking God, reading their Bibles, and influencing the lives of other people to the point to where that it is amazing that they are out there doing what they're doing. Praise God. And this is that influence that was had on their lives because of that contact that was being made by a grandma and a mother. Now, Acts 16:1 says, he, Paul, came to Derbe and then went to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. Now, things aren't always perfect in the home. There are some issues that you have to deal with sometimes. In this particular case, it wasn't easy for Eunice because she was a believer and her husband was a Greek. She was a person serving Christ, but her husband was not. That's not easy. Did Timothy turn out okay? Yes, he did. The thing that we have to understand is that God makes the difference, doesn't he? God makes the difference. Even though you can look at your life and say, well, yeah, if I had this going on in my life, everything would be fine. Your children are going to turn out the way God is leading them and the way that you are teaching them and working on them. God is going to use you in a way that is going to make up a difference on some things that are in some ways hindering their growth. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, how many of you here have some weakness in your life? Never have we thought that that weakness was an asset, have we? We've always thought of our weaknesses being that one place, that one area of our lives where we fail. When you sit there and think, well, you know, things are just not right. There's just certain things that I wish were better. I look over my life. I look over my child raising. I examine some of the things that I've done and said, and I'm just not sure that I did the right thing. Some of you are looking on your family, and you're looking at them, and everything is pretty much done. You feel like, well, okay, they're already out of the home, and it's already completely out of my hands. I no longer have any influence or control. I wonder if I'd have just done this differently. I wonder if I'd have said this differently. I wonder if I'd have been more of that. I wonder. And we get into the wishing. We get into the worrying. We get into the self-condemnation. We get into self-examination. And we get our eyes off of God. And we forget that God makes the difference, and He makes it in weakness. What should you do with your weaknesses? What should you do about the fact that there are some things you said, there are some things that you do, there's some feelings that you have, there's some thoughts that go through your head? What should you do about that child-raising procedure that you're just not real sure about? Therefore, I will boast in all the more gladly about my weaknesses. Oh, boy, is that 180 degrees out of what we do. It is a matter of taking our weaknesses and laying them at the feet of God and saying, I believe that you make the difference. I'm not talking just right here, right now. A lot of the influence that we have over our children, moms, is faith. Is to believe. To believe what? To believe that God is making the difference. In spite of all of the things that you have thought and said and done wrong. In spite of, you must believe that He is able to keep that which you've committed to Him against that day. You must believe, or you will be depressed. There will be moments when you will be in unbelief. There will be in moments when you will be in worry. There will be in moments when you will feel like giving up. There will be moments when you as a mother will find yourself not able to really represent Christ, not able to really pray like you want to, not able to be faithful to raising your children in the way they should go because you are just too discouraged. You are just too much on your case. You are just too frustrated. You are just too much in doubt and fear because faith has not taken this point in your life and you don't have anything to sink your teeth into. And this is the scripture to sink your teeth into. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And therefore, this is what I want you to say with me. Come on, moms. Therefore, say it with me again. Therefore, say it with me, moms. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness. Did you join in with me on that? This is a commitment. This is a place where the scriptures work. This is that moment in time where all of a sudden your heart is filled with faith to where that no matter what Satan says to you, no matter how many people run you down, no matter how many things happen to your kids that indicate to you that it's just not heading in a godly direction, where you say, it does not matter. I am not basing my faith on what I see. I am basing my faith on what I believe. What the Word of God says. I live by faith and not by sight. Amen. I live by faith and not by sight. This is a personal commitment. I live by faith and not by sight. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that. Do you see that? So that. In other words, this is what makes it work. So that. I will do this so that this will happen. And this is the point where it works for you or it doesn't work for you. This is the place where you make the decision. The Word of God works, but it doesn't work in unbelief. It only works in faith. So that Christ's power may rest on me. Is that exciting or what? Is that exciting or what? This is where you are, moms. Doesn't make any difference whether you're future, present, or past moms. You're moms. And you're the moms of faith. And you're the moms that believe. Until finally, Mom Herndon, Christy's mom, prayed, believed. And one day, Billy, her one major black sheep, stood out in his backyard and took his can of beer and held it up to God and poured it out and came to her other son Russell, came to his church and accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior at a fairly old man. The just shall live by faith, and our moms in this church are women of faith.